We thank you so much for Lucas. We thank you for the preparation, Lord. We thank you for your anointing on him. I pray that you deliver it with clarity, Lord, and that we would receive it clearly as well, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
While I was preparing this morning for this sermon, this week, for this sermon, there was one Bible verse that I wanted to get in, but I just couldn't get it in. It didn't sit right anywhere. And guess what that verse was? 1 John. The word. This morning is all about one thing. It's about God. And in the worship, we just had that as well. Thank you, Sarah. God is central. God is at the heart of it all. I just want to remember these guys at the back as well. They've had a bit of a headache this morning. They've had a lot of things not going smoothly. And yet they keep on working steadily and surely, keeping a cool head. So I just want to remember them. So these guys. Yes, sorry. Just to mention the offering here at the front, so feel free at the end to come and and also, I'll have notes available, so all of the references, the Bible verses and so on, it's just quite a simple, crude thing, so don't expect some well-documented thing. It's a bit crazy points, so apologies for that. It's just the raw stuff that I'm working from. On the right screen. The problem is if you start on the wrong screen, it comes up on the other screen. So, I've got a 3-point sermon today. G-O-D. God. Very simple sermon. It just puts God right at the centre. We've already had a chunk of this. Makes it easy to remember. And there's a little bit of a clue in the title as to what it's about. It's just a simple reminder. It's forwards looking. It's not to make you feel guilty. This is to look forwards for the real hope that we have. This is about the truth that we know. It's just simply reminding us, just a tiny reminder of some of the truth that we know, but just bringing it right back into focus, putting God right at the heart of everything. God. This is the one and only true God. There is no other God. Just to be clear about the God that I'm talking about, this is the God of the Bible. The most unique book in the whole of human history. There is nothing else like it. It is centered on Jesus, the most unique human that ever walked this earth. These are not light, idle claims. These are truth. If you're unsure about what I'm saying and the claims that I'm making, read this for yourself. This is God's word to us start reading in the New Testament and just read it. And say to God, show yourself, reveal yourself to me, and he will. It is all about God. Not about us. It's about him. This is his story. The Bible starts, in the beginning, God. The Lord's Prayer starts, our Father in heaven. John 3:16, probably the most famous Bible verse, starts, for God so loved the world. Revelation starts, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him. And finishes, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. We are his. It is about him. How big is your God? I love science. Growing up at school, I was a physicist. I loved physics. In fact, I had electronics as a hobby. A bit embarrassing. I was a complete nerd in this sort of way. Although it was kind of cool because I lectured to my brother and all sorts of other fun things. But anyway, science. Oh, brilliant. Excellent. So, just to reiterate, God. Just in case you missed it. How big is our God? I love science and I follow all of the latest discoveries and explorations and new sciences that are out there. Unfortunately, there's a lot of rubbish as well, but I love the real stuff, the real gritty stuff, the hard stuff. But there's one thing that is abundantly clear above all other things, which is our limitations. We really cannot reach the edge of understanding anywhere, in any area of science. Let's take the universe. We don't know how big the universe is, even slightly, even vaguely. We don't know how many stars there are, not even slightly. Gravity. Newton sat beneath the tree and an apple hit him on the head and we start into the Enlightenment, the beginning of formal science, where we started to recognise how things work. Today, we still have no clue what gravity is. Evolution, here's a fun one. We have so many disparate theories as to how life evolved, and I don't want to get involved in it, but the simple truth is there is massive confusion over it. Even within the evolutionary movement, they cannot decide whether the genetic tree is right or whether the historic fossil tree is right. They are completely at odds with each other. There is no real depth of understanding. The brain, we understand lots about it. We're fundamentally clueless how it really operates. Our universe is big. It's complex. We cannot fathom the edges of it. That much is clear from science. But here's the thing. God is bigger than the universe. How big is your God? Do we think we can fit him in a box and define him and tell him how to run things? Revelation 21 verse 6. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the springs of the water of life. God gets to set what is true, right and good. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person. It's not just our universe, our physical universe. There is a spirit. God created the universe. There is something much greater than the universe. That is God and his reality. And he has put a spirit in each one of us. We find it hard to accept some of these things. Such a big God, really? He threw both stars at the galaxies? He created humans? No, it's just not possible. It just must have happened somehow. No, this is the God we're talking about. We find it hard to really grasp. Because we live in a world around us that's physical, that we touch, that we feel, we sense, we see. why can't we see God? I mean, if he is really this amazing, this big, this powerful, I'm sure it would be obvious. Why? Why can't I see it? Why can't I really grasp it? I want to. Why can't I lay hold of it? Freedom. If God turned up on this stage, there would be no debate. In fact, none of us would survive it, but that's another matter entirely. He has hidden himself. He's withdrawn to give us freedom. He is, in science, I keep finding it time and time again, the debate is right on the edge. You can believe this, or you can believe that. It's not obvious. It's not easy to prove. God has gone out of his way to give a freedom of choice. Who do you trust? Not what can be proved. Who do you trust? He's given us a freedom to choose. The price of freedom is high. Our world is big, loud, confusing, and busy. There's lots of noise. It's full of ideas, new ideas, all vying for our attention. Listen, look, see, watch. Who do you trust? Our world is full of knowledge and information, ideas, but very little understanding. There's power. There's fighting for power. There's wrestling. There's world powers. There's people. There's politics. But very little authority. Fame. Oh, wow. Our world is full of fame. But no real honour. Doing what is good and just and right. Of respect. Image. We have images everywhere. Oh, thank you, Facebook and Instagram and goodness knows what. Images that are popping up, all sorts of ones, grabbing our attention. Some of them are fun, but not a great deal of wisdom. Perception. Our world is built on perception. Capitalism is built on perception. What you perceive, what you think the value of something is, what you think something might be. But not a great deal of truth. This is a long verse from Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 10. But bear with me, listen it through. It's in three parts. This is the way of the world. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. So I'm not saying that this thing's wrong with doing the world's ways and things of what we have to do, but the one who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, and that turns him away from God. That's the key here. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. A salt land is where nothing grows. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes. The heat will come, but he does not fear. He will be parched, but he won't be destroyed. For its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought. For it does not cease to bear fruit. And fruit in seasons, not all the time necessarily. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? What a desperate situation we're in. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. As Sarah said, if we're seeking God, that's our part. God will do the rest. Who do we trust? So let's put God central. Let's talk about who we should trust and how. Truth and understanding. Jesus, when he came down to earth, his main message was not to heal. He did heal. He healed people's sight. He healed the lame. But to heal spiritually, to heal spiritual sight. He got very frustrated when people were clamouring at him for all the earthly things, all the physical things. Yes, he could help with those things. Yes, he wanted to bless. Yes, he wanted to love. But there's a far greater picture. There's a far greater God, a far greater reality, a far greater eternity. Our natural focus, understandably, is on down here and now. Let's put those things to one side and instead put God at the centre. God wants us to have our focus on him, on what will endure forever. We still have to be concerned with the things of life, but what is central? What are we trusting? What is at the heart of everything? Righteousness. This is being right with God and with each other. Relationships. They are very central to God. He created creation for a relationship with us. John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give, him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. This water of life, what is it? How do we do it? Yes, it starts with trust. Other virtues, the two other virtues of God. Holiness. Being free from sin and evil. This is a process. It's a lifelong process. We don't expect in this time to complete that. But it is a journey. And we come to God, he will help us. Honour. Honour is a strange thing. We've completely forgotten in our culture really what honour is. Honour is being right, doing good, being trustworthy, gaining respect. These are all slow, long, tiring, hard-working things that bring someone real honour. These are not just titles, not just things that are imagined about somebody. These are real deep truths about somebody that bring them honour. And God has honour. Faith. The Bible talks about faith. At the bottom of it all, the Bible keeps on going on about faith. This is simply trusting God. Having faith in God is simply trusting him. It's actually harder than it looks. I've got here four things. These are just some of them. There's plenty, plenty more. You could write pages and pages of simple truths about God. But some of these jar. Some of these are hard. God is good and just. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. How easy do we find it to state these truths? And how deeply do we really believe them? Pain and suffering are not a mistake, but the real, true price of freedom. The price of freedom is high. It costs us everything. And it costs God everything. Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He wasn't joking. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? God is good and just. It is true. However hard and messy our world is, God knows what he's doing. God can be trusted. God does not make mistakes. God loves you dearly, very dearly. It's easy to say these things. Let's dwell on them. Let's take time. Let's wrestle with them. Why don't we find them easy? What is it that's jarring us? What is it that we're struggling with? Take it to God. God is the source of many great things. This is the water of life. This is what brings eternal life. Spiritual life. Faith. I mentioned that before. Faith is really trusting God. Trusting that those statements are true. Fully true. Not just a bit true. Not just true when things are going well. Fully true. Even, as Sarah was talking about, when things are going wrong. God even helps us to learn to trust him. We can't do it on ourselves. But we do need to start. Hope. In a world that seems hopeless, even as Christians, sometimes it seems hopeless. God remains hope. He provides a way forward in any and every situation. He provides real hope. Not without pain, not without hardship, not without suffering, but real hope and a real way forward. Love. It will be hard. It is hard. There is a high price. God has paid most of it. But it will be full of love, beauty, and wonder. You watch and wait and see how God does things. There is nothing like it. Nothing. Painful. Slow at times by our measure of speed. Difficult, tiring, relentless. But God knows what he's doing. Micah 6 verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. It's really very simple, but ever so hard. Forgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to come to God and recognise there is a way forwards. There is always a way forward. So let's put those things we're struggling with to the side and focus on God. Grace. My grace is sufficient. God has grace for us. We can have grace for those around us. It's hard. We'll make mistakes. It's okay. Keep coming back to God. 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 1 Corinthians 16, 13-14. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. In summary, it is all about God. Let's take time with him and let him be our source of the water of life.